Hey, good morning. It is good to be with you all here. God is so good, so gracious, so much to be thankful for. And excited for who he is, what he does, the hope that we have in the future. But we don't want to, sometimes I think we Christians get caught always living in the future, the good things that God is going to do, and we never get around to actually seeing them. They're always on the horizon. And there's a place to enter into his fullness and his goodness today, I believe. That it's just not down the road. It's just not if things work out. God is on our side. God wants to bless each and every one of us today with his presence, with his love, with his power, with his truth, everything we need. He has, he's in control of, he understands, and sometimes he just tells us to trust him in the difficult times and that. And I know that's easier said than done when you're in those difficult times and the real trials of your life. And so how good to be together just as a body of Christ. We're continuing on in the Holy Spirit series, looking at the Holy Spirit. He's a mystery, and again, it's a non-physical something that we can't see. It's not in the material world that we're dealing in the spiritual realm, and so it's very hard. I get the thought that the Holy Spirit is something, somebody much more experienced than it is explained or taught. Words are always going to fall short. I kind of like it to maybe swimming. I've been thinking a lot of me learning to swim, and there's a lot of analogies that would fit into this. But I realize everybody learns to swim differently. I can tell you how I learned to swim and different things in that, but you might not relate to that at all. Your parents maybe just threw you in the pool before you were too young to know what was going, and you swam all your life. Maybe some of you don't swim at all yet. But this whole Holy Spirit, I just look at, is kind of a little bit like learning to swim or jumping into the water. We can talk about it here on dry land all you want. I can give you all the explanations and the demonstrations of what that's like. But until you jump in, or at least put your big toe in, or sit on the side, or climb down the ladder into the shallow end, it's got to be experienced. It can't be explained, really. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different dimension. And it can be scary because of that. Again, it's not tangible. We can't hold on to it with that. And so it's something that, again, that it's a growing process. It's a learning thing, the same as that, getting used to it and getting comfortable and learning to go deeper and deeper, not just always staying at the shallow end. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not something we sense with our five senses. It's something that's spiritually experienced. And again, we tried to explain this a few weeks ago. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Our body lives in interacts with this physical world around us. We have five senses that gather information of this world that we're in, and it feeds it into our soul, which I define as mind, will, and emotion, and it processes that. And on the same side of that, we also have a spirit that is in tune and working and living in the spiritual realm. And it is also supplying information through our spirit into our mind, will, and emotions, into our soul. And that is also being processed. And so someplace here in our world, our thought life, our experiences, our thoughts, our emotions, and then our will, where we decide I'm taking all this information and I'm going to act on it. This is what I'm going to do or try to do with that. We process all of that. I was thinking back to a year or so ago, I read a book, and it was a real interesting series on just how our brain processes things and what joy, where joy comes from. And one of the facts in there is our brain processes information like, I forget, 10 times, 100 times faster than we can think in language and in words. You know, we are just take all the time we're taking in things here through our mind and through our spirit that are coming faster than we can put words to them. But we are aware of those things. We're processing those things. We're reacting to those things. I wish, as I've been studying and struggling and trying to put all this Holy Spirit stuff together in a way to explain it, I wish it was just in an encyclopedia. Now, some of you youngsters aren't going to know what that is. Maybe Wikipedia or just the online article or something now, you know, that you could just get to the E or the H's and turn there and here's Holy Spirit and here's the outline. Here's the explanation. Here's all the facts. Here's how it all fits together and all of that. And, you know, you could just read that. You could study it. You could memorize it. You could have it all in your head and you'd have all the answers, everything you need. And if you forgot, you could just go get the encyclopedia out and turn back to that. That would be ideal. That would sure make my life easier. All of our lives maybe easier in the one sense. And yet that is not the way God operates. It's not just it's not just the facts. And God doesn't want us. God wants relationships with us. He wants it to be growing and dynamic. He's not just looking for robots. He's not just looking to put us on the assembly line, where all day long we just do the same thing over and over and over again. At the end of the day, you know, we're done. He's looking for a much more dynamic relationship with that. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk in the Spirit. And again, that's not an easy thing to do because that's not the world we see. That's not the world we can understand. And yet that walking in the Spirit is the spiritual world is the dominant world. It's the one that we're called to live in. It's the one where we're going to find our joy, our fulfillment, our everlasting life. Our life itself comes from the Spirit. And yet there's always that struggle then because we live in a fallen world. We live in with a body that's the corrupt and prone to sin. And be selfish in that. It's a corrupt, it's a deceptive and destructive world that we live in. So there's always that battle of here's kind of what we feel like the reality of our lives, and here's what God is calling us to this dynamic relationship. Again, that's a relationship that we don't necessarily know. We can't understand or explain it all. We don't necessarily know what's coming ourselves. It's something, again, that has to be experienced, that you have to learn from yourself. We can kind of demonstrate it, talk about it, tell stories about it maybe, but also to realize that this spiritual life, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, is the answer that we're all looking for. It's desirable. It's what you need as far as to be able to live that full life that God, Jesus, promises us, that abundant life, that free life, that life full of the fruits of the Spirit, rather than the struggles and the frustrations of this world all the time. It's just, for all my words, for all my talking in that, I can't just give you the answer. I can point you in the right direction. I hope I'm making you curious enough by these to where you begin to search and ask and ponder these things yourself. You know, actually start getting wet, jumping into the pool, sitting on the edge at least and kicking and splashing a little bit. I guess to put it in modern terms, almost what I am doing here is what the computer internet would call clickbait. I'm just trying to get you interested and maybe curious enough where you'll push the button and say, there might be more to this. I want to experiment. I want to experience this. I begin to wrestle with this myself. And that's about all I can really do. I can't force anything beyond that to get you to dig into the scripture yourself, to ask the questions, to seek the giver of these gifts in the person, not that. And so with that, boy, it feels like we're just kind of going over this stuff. I want to go back and just a bit of a review again, cover this ground again. You're going to have to hear this more than once. You know, the gospel is simple enough that the littlest child can grasp it and understand it and make it theirs. But it is also a deep enough, big enough mystery that you will spend your lifetime exploring it and learning it. And so, you know, just don't stop with that. Oh, I've gotten wet once, or I went swimming once, or something like that. To be curious and to be seeking that yourself, this is the answer we're looking for, that you're needing in your life. This is what's going to make the difference, is that fullness of the Holy Spirit living in you. So Acts 2:38, I think we started here a long time ago. Peter said to them, the day of Pentecost, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Been saying this, you need to be born again to experience this. You need to repent, turn away from your sins. If you are harboring rebellion, if you're harboring a sin in your heart and things like that, the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to come in and work like he can in your life. So there's just always that warning and talking about these things. We need to repent. We need to turn away and turn to God. And then to be baptized in the name of the Jesus is just to receive him. Baptism is the idea of being immersed in him, to be changed by that, to be completely submerged, completely immersed in him, to where your identity changes, where you are a new person in Christ, and you can't go back to that old person anymore. You've tasted something, you've experienced something that it just is undeniable. And in doing that, in receiving Jesus, being immersed in him, dying with him, rising again with him, not just figuratively, not just symbolically in baptism, but in the reality of your life, where he becomes your identity. Christ lives in me, and I live in him. The barrier is removed, and we're required then to, and that's required to have this open relationship with God, to have our sins forgiven, to be given this new heart. And there is where then the Holy Spirit comes in. And we see in this verse as well, he's given as a gift. He's not earned. He's not worked for. It's not deserved. It's not more effort on our part. It's gifts given as a gift. And let's just, again, look a little bit real quickly. This is review of what that gift is. John 14:26, Jesus is saying this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." All things, everything you need, he has the answers. He has the explanation for those things. He has the guidance to give you those things. And then also to remember all that he said to you, to understand the scriptures. You know, I hear that I'm reading these scriptures, but I'm confused. They don't make sense to me. I can't put them all together until the Holy Spirit comes and you start connecting the dots and he puts the puzzle together and all of that. How many of us have had that happen? It happened to me today, reading a scripture that I have read for years and years and how many countless times, and all of a sudden it was, oh, wow, look what that's really saying. And look how that connects to over here. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit that he's doing continually in us. John 16, 12 through 14 gives us another version of just this explanation of who this Spirit is. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Again, all truth. And boy, this world is so confusing. There is so much information. There is so many different opinions. There are so much solutions to the world out there. You know, you can just find whatever you want. And yet, what's truth? What's real? They're selling you something all the time that's going to solve all your problems. And here I am saying clickbait again. The Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, is what's going to solve your problem. Lord Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit allows you then to dwell in that and to experience that. There's so many opinions, so many people making promises. And you have to realize it talks about the whole world is controlled by the evil one, by the liar. He's a deceiver, he's a destroyer, and his 24/7 job is to keep you from knowing God and entering into that relationship. And if he can't keep you from that, his next goal then is just to make you complacent, comfortable, and ineffective, to not enjoy the fruit of that relationship. Yeah, you can know Jesus, you can be saved, but don't go beyond that. Don't enter into the joy. Don't enter into the fullness. Don't enter into the power that the Holy Spirit has. If I can just keep you quiet, if I can just keep you lukewarm, that's a victory for him too. And again, there's somebody, the struggle there. There's a spiritual power. Nothing compared to the power of Jesus. It's not a boxing match and we're wondering who's going to win that out. But who is intent on destroying you, deceiving you, keeping you living in darkness and despair. So all truth, he does that. And it says the Holy Spirit's going to disclose what is to come. And we kind of like that, and we kind of think that, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit and prophecy, and I'm going to know who the next president is, and I'm going to know when the stock market crashes, and I'm going to know all of these things of the future and be able to prepare for them. I'm not necessarily sure that's all that it's talking about, as far as just that heads up, that insider trading advantage of the Holy Spirit telling us what's coming. I think what is to come is the vision that he wants to give us of what's possible and what the potential is of living for him. That to the vision that don't know when, but Jesus is coming back. Amen. And it's not to predict the time and stuff like that, but we can live in that hope that everything is going to be set right. There will be justice in this world when he comes back. And thank goodness there will also be mercy when he comes back, because that's what I need. And more than I want the justice when he stops and looks at me. And the vision of there is heaven waiting for us. Paul talks about the trials and the struggles of this world are nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. And that's, I think, what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us as far as the things to come. There is victory. There is great hope. There is a future for us that the world pales in comparison to that in the troubles of this world. He wants to refresh us and remind us of all of those things, all of the promises that God has given us. And then he glorifies me, glorifies Jesus. He'll take a mine and disclose it to you. Again, this is all about Jesus. It's not about us. And again, the focus is not really on the Holy Spirit. And that's why the title of the sermon was Receiving the Spirit, but it's actually receiving Jesus. Those two things go hand in hand. Again, that's the fullness of that God has for us. And there it is again. That is what God wants. This is His plan. His purpose is to restore us, to restore you to that fullness of relationship with Him before sin, before corruption, and to be able to live with Him in that fellowship forever. In this world now, comforted and sealed with the pledge of the Holy Spirit, and into eternity again with Him, with what He created us for in the first place. The delight in His eyes and the love that we have as He responds to that. This is God's plan all along. And not just Jesus coming, but Jesus coming in order to allow us to receive and to live and dwell in that Holy Spirit. That's the key that's going to make it successful. And we don't talk about that enough. So we'll go as I was doing this, and again, it all fits in fine. We talked about that, the Holy Spirit given on the Pentecost. It all fits in when you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. And then you run across a verse like Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ponder that for a little bit here. It's a gift given, but how do we ask for that? But beyond that, you know, the context that he's saying that in, if there's ever a place in our lives of sacrificial giving, of a complete love, I think it's with our children. It should be with our wives, but sometimes that falls short too much. There's a different dynamic in that. But with your children, and with your grandchildren, boy, you are just willing to sacrifice for them. You want the best for them, right? It's just that natural thing. And God is saying, even us with our evil hearts, if we have that sacrificial love and that desire to bless our children and our grandchildren, how much more does your Heavenly Father want you to have this Holy Spirit? And to experience that and walk in the fullness of that. But to those who ask Him. And we've been saying Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. It's available to us at that point in time. It's given to us as a gift. But here, I think this asking Him is... it must be believed. It must be embraced. It must be sought out. It must be expected. And there's nothing wrong with reminding God. And again, it's a process of that. The enemy very, very, very much wants to keep you from that, from experiencing the power and the fullness that the Holy Spirit has, His ability to allow you to live that life that God has for you. In relationship and obedience, surrender to Him. The enemy wants to keep you from that, and the church has not done a very good job, I'm afraid, of teaching and explaining the promise and the availability of the Holy Spirit, and that it's for every believer, and it's given as a free gift. And it's available to us. And so you run into that to people, well, I've been saved a long time, but I'm not sure I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Again, it's so foreign to me, and it's so controversial. The devil or the enemy likes to stir those things up and get us way out on extremes. The churches that say, oh, I don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit and His gifts, because that was for back then, and it's not for now. And then there's the other side that says, oh, you've got to have the Holy Spirit, and you've got to have all the gifts, and you've got to speak in tongues, or it's not real. And so we kind of just muddle our way through and sometimes just ignore it because we don't want to weigh into that controversy. And so the church has not done a good job of that. So there's the possibility that you have been saved, and nobody bothered to tell you when you were saved that now God wants to give you another gift, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we might have to, and it's not so much, you know, asking, but just confirming God, yes, it doesn't hurt. I want that. Show it to me. I want more of it. If that, I want to understand this. I want to experience this Holy Spirit. And God is, again, more and more anxious than you are to give you that gift and to allow you to walk in the fullness of that. And so there, this is Galatians 3, 1 through 3. And this is actually the scripture for the week or this message. And so let's get back into that habit of standing up. You need a little break anyways, and reading this scripture together, if you would be so gracious to do that. And if you can do that, that as well. So let's read these three verses from Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to know, find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the faith? By the flesh, excuse me. Very good, you did better than I did. You can be seated here again. Boy, these are pretty harsh words, aren't they? Paul is really challenging these Galatians. Are you foolish? Are you bewitched? I've just got one question to ask you. I want you to think about this. He's really challenging them here to enter into, to grab a hold of this truth here that he's there. Are you operating in the spirit or in the flesh? And wants them to understand the spirit and to jump into that. It's something you learn. It's something you strive after. But it's not your effort. It's much more God's design. It's kind of like back to the swim analogy, learning to float, learning to trust him. And to learn that the water will hold you up. And let me give just one swim analogy here from my lifetime. Early on, I had taken swim lessons, and I was afraid of everything as a youngster anyway, and certainly afraid of the water and not being in control. So I was taking, I don't know, maybe third or fourth grade swim lessons at the YMCA. And they were trying to get us to swim across the pool and explaining how to do it and showing us how to do it and stuff like that, you know, and I would push off from the wall and I'd be floundering and the water wasn't that deep, but I was on the top of the water. I couldn't feel that. I felt like it was out of control. I felt like I might drown. Making a mess of things, you know. I just was not learning because it was too scary. I wasn't in control. I didn't understand this. And finally, one of the teachers, maybe the second or third day, one of the guys, I think he was probably just a high school student, kind of saw my flailing and floundering in the water and realizing this guy is not catching on. And he just came up to me and said, just trust me. Don't worry about it. Just give me your hands and put your head in the, take a deep breath and put your head in the water. And I'm just going to pull you out a little bit. Just relax and trust me. And he did that. And you know what? Because I was holding on to him, I could float. I didn't have to flail and flounder and worry about all of those things. All I had to do was relax and let the water hold me up. And it just seems like an analogy here of what it is to jump in and go with the Spirit, you know. Just trust Jesus. I'm holding on to you. I've got you. I'm not going to let you drown. Put your head, take a deep breath, put your head in the water and relax. And all of a sudden, wow. It'll hold me up. I'm not going to drown. And that was the light bulb that finally got me to eventually 12 years later, in learning to swim and learning to enjoy the water and enjoy the time of that. All of that here, again, talking about receiving the Spirit, and he's, Paul's question is, how did you receive the Spirit? It's the one thing I want you to know, or the one question I want you to answer here. You seem to be confused, you're maybe foolish here. And I think he links that there then again to the salvation experience, and the two are very the same. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. And so probably most of us here, being saved, having had those encounters with God, understand that. We understand some. We've got some experience in the spiritual world, because how were you saved? Do you remember that experience? How did it happen? Maybe your parents were talking to you at bedtime prayer. Maybe you were in church. Maybe you were just driving along. But someplace, somewhere, some inner voice came and spoke to you, called you. It wasn't something out in this world or that. Don't know where it came from. It came from the Spirit. But God was speaking to you and calling you and drawing you with his love. And it began to make sense. The things that, boy, it don't make sense. I don't understand it. All of a sudden it became very real. And you just yielded and you submitted to that. And your life was changed. I was thinking, something happened inside of you as you believed that. And you could have, and I have certainly been there in those experiences when God was drawing me and talking to me and calling to me, where I resisted that. I fought it. Ways to explain it away. Oh, that's just my imagination. Or, I've tried that before and it doesn't work. Or that's good for the preacher. That's good for these people, but they don't understand my life. As something that we weren't in control of. And it's something that you can't, you don't control, and you can't conjure it up. You know, I can't make that happen. And I was just thinking of that maybe this morning. That was a thought I was just struggling with. Remember what it was like? I've heard this story from many people. When you were first saved and you got up from that altar or prayed that prayer, and boy, the world looked different. And just the whole world looked different. There was something different in your eyes. There was something different in your heart that you couldn't explain, but you knew something happened. And here, this is just a thought. I haven't completely thought through. You know, on the normal experience, and I've heard this from other people, is, yeah, you have that experience at salvation, but after a couple days, that kind of fades away. And you're kind of just back to life as normal, and you begin to question, was that real? Did anything really happen? And I'm just pondering that question. Is that because we don't explain the Holy Spirit when people are saved? And that experience of new, and that experience of the glow of the universe and this peace with God, is something that does not have to fade away. It might not live in that intensity all the time, but we ought to be able to experience that all the time. We ought to know God's love. We ought to know his peace. This world ought to look different to us. It's not the same old thing. We've been born again. We've been born into a new world. And that's the hope that the Spirit that we can have in that. And so Paul's making this case here, the same way you were saved, the same way the Spirit was involved in that, and it was just given as God calling, it was given as a gift. That's the same thing with the Spirit. It's not something that you have to work at. It's not something that you even have to understand. Remember the testimony of one guy who got up from the altar and he said, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it, but I'm different. Something happened. And so with that, the being filled with the Spirit here, he's saying, is the same thing. It's given as a gift. It's given just by being, by receiving it. It's not something you earn for. It's not something that you have to work at. It's not something, boy, if I learn enough and study enough, then I'll be able to understand it here. It's something that God is giving you and doing in your heart. And you do experience that. You probably have some experience with that already. And so as you yield to that, again, his promise to give us that Holy Spirit, and as Christians, it's ours. And we should be expecting to live and walk in that fullness with that. The same way as we just accepted the gift of salvation, we yielded to it, submitted, surrendered. But, you know, the problem is, again, we have those spiritual experiences, but then we always go back to our default setting, don't we? We push that other button back to the old world, back to the world that I'm used to, I'm comfortable with, the world that I grew up in, rather than this new spiritual world, the eyes that have just been opened, and we go back to that, and we begin to think, oh, I've got to start working, I've got to start earning this, I've got to start striving after these things, I've got to start feeling these things, rather than just relaxing and floating. And letting God do the work, in believing that and receiving that. And it's not just what you feel. We sang a song, it doesn't matter if you feel it, if you see it, or things like that. God is working. The Holy Spirit is drawing and calling you and trying to get your attention all the time. And are we open to that? Are we... are we receiving it that simply? Are we learning to walk? We learn to walk in our salvation in that experience. We also need to learn to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. And it's the same Spirit, and it can be at the same time. And I think that should be the expectation and what we should teach. You're born again, the Spirit is there, and you need to learn to receive that and walk in that. And again, it's a process. You know, you're not going to walk in all the fullness of it right away. The same as you're not going to in your salvation. But it's there, and we ought to have that experience. Let me close with this verse. Again, there's so much to say. I wish we could just sit down and have like a, rather than me standing here and talking, we could sit down and have a 2-3 hour Bible study. Let's go to this scripture. Let's go to this scripture and let's ask questions and let's think through this together. Would be much more effective than what I'm trying to do here. But Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That power, it's a power, it says the kingdom of God does not consist just in words and ideas, but in power. And in Hebrews it talks about the power of an indestructible life. To be able to live in victory, that's not a perfect life. It says the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. God picks him up again. Not demanding perfection out of you to have it all together. He's just asking you to stand firm and to believe and to keep going back. When you do fall, you don't run away from God out of condemnation or guilt, but you learn to run to him so he can pick you back up and restore you. That's that power. And again, that power dwelling in you will be noticeable to the world, will make you witnesses to the people around you. There will be a difference if you're walking in the fullness of that. That they will, at some point, probably be asking you, what's going on? And you'll be so overflowed and overfilled that you can't keep your mouth shut to just God's goodness. I got the smile on my face. He's so gracious to me. I love him so much. Sunday afternoon questions. And they've changed. They're not what's in your bulletin. Chris does good in that. And just as I thought that, the questions in your bulletin are good. But just first, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? He calls you to have that. He wants that. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? The second one would be, what is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced him? Do you believe him? Is he, you know, are you embracing him? Are you believing he's there? Do you believe he's a helper? And one of the things he's described of that you can actually turn to and say, hey, I need help here. I need this answer, or I need help, or I need strength to resist this temptation, and how close and he will be there to answer those types of prayers and requests. And then the last one, what evidence do you see in your life of the Holy Spirit working? And not the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit working. He's a person. And I guess if I, just closing with Acts 1:8, but I would also say to give a message on receiving the Holy Spirit and not to give some opportunity to do that just seems amiss a little bit. And again, receiving Jesus Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit is kind of a package. It's all the same thing. You might be here and say, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord, my Savior. I need his forgiveness. I need those barriers and that guilt and that shame taken away so I can walk boldly into his presence and receive that Holy Spirit. And you could also say, yeah, I know that. I've done that. But I've never been taught, or I've never heard, never believed that then that Holy Spirit is available in the same way, the same way that you received your salvation, just accepting that gift. And so not a big thing, but I want to give that invitation that if you want to come and pray, again, ask to seek. If you've got questions, be glad to meet with you. Be glad to pray with you if that's what you want. But God so much wants you to enter into that fullness. Into this life enough that he sent his son to die for you, sent the Holy Spirit now to live with us and to empower us to live that life. And you're not going to live that life of a Christian without the Holy Spirit. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be a step forward, a step back until you receive that power from the Holy Spirit to do that. So it says in Hebrews, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God's been speaking to you. Please respond. Okay? Another place here, Paul says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Don't walk out of here not knowing, not sure, not having made that effort. God will meet you and will keep his word and his promises to you. So let's bow in prayer, and if you would like to come up and pray, just be bold and courageous and do that, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this, the truth of your word, and the greatness of your love, the greatness of your mercy, the greatness of your desire to restore us and refresh us and walk with us. How much you love us. To send your son to die, to send your Holy Spirit now to be with us and a part of us. So Lord God, we commit ourselves to you this day. It's nothing we do, it's nothing we deserve. But we want all that you have to give us. We don't want to turn away from the gifts that you have, the fullness that you have for us. So Lord God, to be speaking to our hearts, confirming the relationship we have with you, confirming the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, that he is He is there. He's available as a helper, a comforter. He's going to guide us into all truth. It's going to finish the work that he started in us, he's called us to. So, Lord God, we commit ourselves to you, that we would live a life worthy of you, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to us. We pray this all then in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.